Recording.
Okay. Show is 5:01. I'd like to welcome everybody to the January meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting by Zoom in accordance with the governor's orders. You can log in through our website, through the agenda packets. Director Watts, can you call roll, please, sir?
Shannon Nave.
Here.
Tim Watts here, Jared Reynolds, Richard English, Tracy Messler.
Here.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Brent Wilson.
Here.
Ron Micah.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. Doug, do we have anybody signed up for public comment at this point?
I have not received anything yet, Tracy.
Okay. Obviously, if anybody in the public wants to speak on any of the items on the agenda, if you'll hit the send a message through chat through Zoom so Doug can see it and let me know when we get to those agenda items. First item up on the agenda is a public hearing to accept public comment and consider the proposed desired future conditions for the groundwater resources of the Trinity Aquifer Group within the district pursuant to section 36.108. D-2 of the Texas Water Code. I'm not going to read through all of this. Doug, I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get started, can everybody see the presentation I've got up on the screen?
Yes.
It says public hearing at the top. Gotcha.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So I'm just going to kind of go through this, Tracy, and if anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate to stop and ask me as we go along. I've got, and I really encourage you just to speak up. I've got multiple screens open, so I may not see comments. I'm trying to open it so I can see everybody right now. So basically, the current law says no later than May 1st of 2021, and every 5 years thereafter, groundwater management areas must consider groundwater, consider GAMS and adopt desired future conditions or just proposed desired future conditions. For those of you that aren't aware, desired future condition is basically a physical quantitative characteristic, a goal for the groundwater resources in the district at some point in the future. And groundwater desired future conditions can be adopted for an entire aquifer, for subdivisions of an aquifer, for management zones within an aquifer. They can be adopted at a county scale or at a district-wide scale or at an entire aquifer scale. And so I'm going to go through here a little bit and talk about the process a little bit more, and talk about the proposed DFCs that have been approved by GMA8. So bear with me. Too many things open. So to start off with groundwater management areas, about a decade and a half ago, the Water Development Board and through the legislature, kind of devised this idea of joint planning of groundwater districts over a common aquifer. And then they tasked the Water Development Board with splitting the state into these groundwater management areas. And basically they used the major aquifers. And you can see the map there, the 16 groundwater management areas. We are actually located in groundwater management area 8. And groundwater management area 8 consists of our district and 10 other districts that reside over the northern portion, or the portion of the Trinity Aquifer above the Colorado River. So you can see the districts that make up the groundwater management area 8, and then the red outline is the entire GMA. So I'm just throwing this up there for a second because when I put up the proposed DFCs, it may help it make a little bit more sense. Remember, we talked about the spatial and the extents to which DFCs can be adopted. And so in GMA8, we have adopted DFCs. They've been proposed, or they've been proposed at both a district scale and a county scale, which are basically the same numbers. It's taking a pie and, you know, cutting it up different ways, but it's just averaged over a larger area when it's at the district scale. But we've proposed them by subdivisions of the aquifer, of the Trinity group of aquifers. And while I've got this map up here, as you can see, the five regions, the five hydrogeologic regions of the Trinity group of aquifers. And the green shaded area across the northern portion is region one, which makes up, you know, probably two-thirds of our district. And it's referred to, and again, region one, everything in all the subdivisions of the aquifer and that and the Trinity in region one are lumped together and referred to as the antlers. And that's the table on the left kind of shows that. South of that line, which is the northern portion of Parker County, the Trinity group is split into three subdivisions, the Paluxy, the Glen Rose, and the Twin Mountains. The reason everything is lumped together in the north is as you move north in the Trinity, and the Glen Rose starts to basically transition from predominantly limestone in the south to more clay to, as you get further north, from the top of the Paluxy to the bottom of the Twin Mountains, it's all just interbedded shales and clay. There's no distinct regional separation. The Glen Rose doesn't provide a regional separation of the upper and lower portion of the aquifer. So geologists have lumped it together and referred to it as the antlers. So our district, the proposed DFCs you're going to see that are relevant to our district are, again, on a district-wide scale and on a county scale. And you'll see them for the outcrop and subcrop of the antlers and the outcrop and subcrop of the three subdivisions in Region 2. So before we actually look at the proposed DFCs, it's important to mention that Chapter 36 requires, as part of the consideration of desired future conditions, that these nine factors be addressed. I'm not going to read through them all here. Most of you guys have seen these before, but just generally speaking, we got to look at the uses and conditions of the aquifer within the management area. We got to look at data from the regional water planning process, which looks 50 years out and identifies water demands and water supplies and identifies water needs. We've got to look at the hydrological conditions and other environmental impacts that adopting DFCs may cause, right? Are certain DFCs going to have an impact on spring flow, you know, to such a extent that's, you know, people would find negative? Again, the impact on subsidence is not really an issue in this part of the world. We look at socioeconomic impacts, impacts to private properties, and then again, the feasibility of achieving the DFC. Is it physically possible to achieve the desired future condition? So all these have been addressed, multiple GMA meetings where all these issues were discussed. I provided some stuff early to you guys early on about some of this stuff. Most of it really hadn't changed since the last round of planning, basically because it's just an update. Our district did update pumping volumes, but really and truly, it's just an update from the last round of DFC planning. After developing proposed DFCs, the GMA must hold a joint planning meeting where the member districts, the representatives from each of the member districts, have to vote to approve the proposed DFCs. And it's always worth mentioning that, you know, we as districts are asked to walk that line of balancing the highest practicable level of use with the conservation, preservation, protection, and recharge and prevention of waste of groundwater. So it's kind of a fine line you got to walk there to allow folks to utilize that resource as much as possible while also making sure that all those other things are met. So on October 27th, the members of GMA 8 met and took action to approve the proposed DFCs for this current round of joint planning. The tables that you see now are up on the screen now are the proposed DFCs that are relevant to our district. Again, on the left, on the district-wide scale, you see the antlers, the Paluxy, Glen Rose, and Twin Mountains. And we actually are the only district, because of our location on the aquifer, and we're located primarily in the outcrop of the formation of the Trinity. We have in the past adopted or are continuing to propose DFCs on both the outcrop and down dip portions of each aquifer or each subdivision. And the table on the right shows the same DFCs just split out at a county level. And again, in the north, where Wise and Monte counties are completely in Region 1, so you only see the DFCs for the Antlers. And then Parker and Hood, you see it for Biloxi, Glen Rose, and Twin Mountains. So once the proposed DFCs were approved by GMA 8, which again happened in October, their administrative agent was tasked with sending out the proposed DFCs to all the member districts. And once that happened, that kicked off the 90-day public comment period. We received those were mailed out on Monday, November 16th, and the end of the 90-day public comment period will be Sunday, February 14th, 2021. And during that 90-day period, each district within the groundwater management area is required to hold a public hearing, which we're doing right now, to accept comments on the proposed DFCs. At the end of the 90-day period, all the districts are required to compile their comments and then submit them to Groundwater Management Area 8 for consideration by the GMA. And GMA 8 has asked that all the districts submit their summary reports by June 1st of this year. Once that happens, once those summary reports are submitted, GMA 8 will then hold another meeting sometime in late June or July, which is a likely scenario, to consider the comments received and potentially adopt DFCs for this round of planning. The deadline to complete this process is January of next year. Once the DFCs are adopted, the GMA is responsible for putting together an explanatory report, where they basically, it's just, you guys have seen most of y'all have seen the explanatory report. Several of y'all were around for the last round of planning. It's a pretty lengthy document. It looks at, basically just outlines the entire process, all the justifications for the proposed DFCs, all the technical information, all the model runs, all that information is included in the explanatory report. And it is then submitted to the TWDB. And once they receive it and lets the GMA know that it is administratively complete, it's sent back to all the districts. And at that time, each district within the GMA is required to hold a public meeting, at which time they adopt DFCs applicable to their district. So again, the way this will play out is, you know, the GMA has approved proposed DFCs. They've sent out, we're in the public comment period now. Once the public comment period's over, we'll compile comments received, submit those to Groundwater Management Area 8. GMA 8 will hold a meeting this summer to discuss the comments received. And then once we've gone through the comments received, potentially adopt DFCs, submit an explanatory report. Once the explanatory report's submitted and received by the Water Development Board, they find that it's administratively complete, they'll let us know. Then we'll be back for a separate public hearing with our board, and our board will take action to adopt the DFCs that are then provided to them by the GMA. It's kind of a long, convoluted process, but that's in a nutshell. I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys may have. Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but at this point, our board's not required to take any action. This is just a public hearing to receive comment. And again, the public comment period's open for several more weeks, basically until Valentine's Day.
That's correct.
Happy to answer any questions anybody may have, if there is any.
Doug, clarify, the public comment period ends when?
February 14th, 2021.
Okay. All right.
And what'll happen, Tracy, is once that period's closed, if we receive any comments, I will compile those and bring and prepare a summary report, and I'll bring that to our board for our board's approval before we submit the summary report to GMA.
Right.
At this point, I have not received any comments, but we may.
Has anybody raised their hand to comment at this point?
I haven't seen anybody. Let me open up the meeting controls. If anybody has anything, just speak up at this point, but I'm not seeing anybody. Tracy.
Does the board have any questions for Doug on this process? Hearing none, I'm going to adjourn this public hearing at 5:16 p.m. Move on to our regular board meeting agenda. Item number one is the consent agenda, which includes approval of the minutes from the regular board meeting on December 21st, approval of bank statement ending December 31st, payment of bills and invoices received through January 25th of 2021, and reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through January 25, 2021. Does anybody on the board wish to pull anything out for discussion? Then chair would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll
make that motion. Was that Director Watts and Director Micah both heard?
That's who I heard, Tracy.
Okay. Motion by Director Watts, second by Director Micah to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. Nothing was pulled from the consent agenda. Item number three, board consideration of possible approval of quarterly investment report with recommendations. Doug?
No recommendations. Mike? The report was provided to the board in their package. We've got a couple CDs maturing later this year. We'll explore our options, but the likely best option is to let them just renew.
Okay.
But at this time, no recommendations.
No action needed?
No. This is the quarterly, so yeah, the board would.
Chair would entertain a motion to approve the quarterly investment report.
So move.
Motion by Director Watts. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
I'll second it.
Second by Director Micah is one I heard first. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, continued discussion regarding alleged failure to timely submit accurate water production reports and water use fees to the districts for the calendar years 2009 through 2014 for wells owned by Land Fund Manager LP in Hood County, including but not limited to the approval of a settlement agreement between the district and Land Fund Manager LP, and take necessary action. Doug?
Yeah, so we discussed this last month, and the board had some hesitation because the way we had the settlement agreement drawn up was the first payment wasn't due until the end of this year. I visited with the folks with Land Fund. They had no problem with making the payment due sooner. So what we've done is we basically have the same settlement in place. We just made a change to the first payment and every payment moving forward. Instead of being due in the beginning of December, it's due before the end of the first quarter. So it's due by March 30th of each year. And so in other words, they would immediately, once we sign the settlement, they're going to go on and cut us a check right then. And then in the first 3 months of every year thereafter, they would make a payment of no less than 10% of what they owe us.
For the board's information, Doug contacted me after talking to the owners and had this recommendation, and I told him to go ahead and prepare the documents that way, feeling the board would like to get at least some money up front so we don't have to wait 11 months for first payment.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're actually, when we talked to them after the December meeting, they were ready to cut us a check to get by the end of last year, but they just want to get this on. They want to get this signed and a settlement signed and get a check to us so they can. Really, technically, we can't do anything with their historic use permit until this is signed.
Right. Does the board have any questions of Doug or myself?
And so my recommendation would be to approve it and then authorize me to execute the agreement on behalf of the district.
Okay, I was looking at my phone, but let me pull it up on my computer.
Jay, you're not muted. Gotcha.
There are no questions. Board of entertain a motion to
approve. The only other question I have, what happens if they change hands?
So, and this would be something for Brian to clarify, but, you know, if they don't fulfill their settlement, then their permit, basically, they don't, it can impact their ability to pump water, correct, Brian, under their permit?
That's right, yeah. I mean, the enforcement action would still be live if they fail to comply with the settlement, the terms of the settlement agreement.
Okay, so, that's what I wanted to make sure that, because they're paying it off over long term. I can see somebody coming up and say, hey, I'm going to buy you out. And
yeah.
So, all of a sudden, we're back in the same situation.
So we've had that happen recently. We've actually got a settlement like this with a water provider, and they're actually selling their system. And their plan is to pay off the entirety of the agreement at closing. But if they don't either do that or continue to pay they're paying monthly, then they lose the ability to produce water from their wells under their historic use permit.
Let's make sure they know that and make sure that it's on record.
Yep.
Good question, Don. Any other questions? Chair would entertain a motion to approve the proposed settlement agreement between the district and Land Fund Management LP and authorize the general manager to execute any documents necessary. I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 5, discussion regarding the following request for an extension to drill approved water wells and take necessary action as necessary. Doug, you want to do them separately or together?
I think we can do them together. If you want a summary, we can do that, but I think together is fine. Whatever you okay. guys want to do.
Go ahead, Doug.
Actually, I'll let Kyle, if you guys, are you on, Kyle? Just summarizing real quick.
Yes, sir. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. So 11570 for Town of Veneta. That's their Lake Sibolito system. It's been delayed a little bit. They are in some ongoing discussions with the developer or to the adjacent subdivision, I believe. I'm not sure what exactly is going on with that, but they are looking to move forward with this well in the future. There's just some discussions with that developer. Well ID 11901 for New Fairview Mud. I believe that it is their intention to drill this well soon. I know that they are, you know, expanding that subdivision and are going to be needing that additional water fairly soon. It was initially discussed whether or not they wanted to actually drill that well. However, I believe that they are planning to move forward with it. Well ID 11992 and 11993 for Town of Veneta. There has been some issues with the developer of that subdivision. Their engineer had passed away, and they had a little bit of a delay due to all that. And then there's also an issue with the placement of one of the wells, and they're looking to move that a little bit, so they are going to need an extension for that. And then the 4 wells for WPS 1 LLC, they said they anticipate to drill that next quarter, I believe. And that would be their second extension.
Yeah, WPS, that's an apartment complex over there in is it some Willow Park, right?
There. Yeah, it's the Willow Park apartment complex. It's a new one coming in. You know, they're doing four wells for, they're all 17-gallon minute wells. They meet spacing and everything like that. It's like a 10, 12-acre property, something like that. Just right outside of everyone's service area.
Yep. And then the exempt one was just normal, just issues with the equipment and setbacks. So my recommendation is to approve all of them. Happy to answer any questions that you guys may have.
Board have any questions of Doug or Kyle?
Doug, I think some of these are on their fourth extension.
Correct.
Yeah, at what point are we going to say no, you need to stop and resubmit? The rules have changed since we initially granted these.
We have, and so I think we – how many did we give to for Stonegate? Was it five, Kyle?
Five, yes, sir.
And then after the fifth one, we told them no more?
Yes, sir. That was that, five, and with the last being the last one.
That was kind of the track that I was taking with these, Shannon, is we've gone to five before. I don't really expect to go much more. I know for the 11992 and 11993, as Kyle said, we've been in contact with Annetta. There were some issues with their original engineer. They're going to have to move. We're actually going to have to hold a hearing for them to move one of those wells because they had sited it too close to the road and couldn't get a sanitary control easement and what they needed anyway. So we'll be holding a hearing for that next month. But yes, you're right. I would say, you know, either this one and no more, but like I said, we've gone five before, but I definitely wouldn't recommend going any further than that.
Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we shorten the extension time period for the non-exempt wells?
We did. They get 240 days, and every extension is for 120 days. Before we amended our rules, adopted our current permanent rules, it was a 240-day extension as well. So we did cut it in half.
Since, and I guess this is still on this subject, since we have an item later on the agenda talking about some rules amendments, if the staff has any recommendation on this particular issue, you might bring it up next month. Let us take a look at it. I know we've got quite a few of these. I don't know how many more you've got in the system that are heading towards the same thing.
But they're starting to clean up, actually.
Okay.
We're getting most of them drilled. These WPS wells, I kind of figured they'd go long. They got in right before the historic use permit deadline, you know, so they'd be eligible for those. And I think they intended to get them drilled last year, but there was just, you know, last year was kind of a strange year. We've been talking with the driller, and I think they intend to have them drilled the next month or so.
Okay. All right. Well, I just thought since we have that on the agenda for next month, if staff's got suggestion on this, we might want to take a look at it.
Okay.
Like Director Nave, every time they hit about fourth extension, my ears start twitching about how long is this going to last.
Yeah.
So, okay. Board has heard the staff recommendation to approve all the extensions as presented. Do I hear a motion?
Approve the request as submitted.
Motion by Director Watts. Do I hear a second?
I will second, making sure that we put those restrictions that we've done in the past.
That's standard, I believe, Don. Okay. Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Management report on administrative and operational issues. General manager and staff will brief the board. Doug?
Yes, sir. Under my report, just real quick, or kind of want to We've talked a little bit about the historic use permit applications. We've started reviewing those. I've been visiting with Brian about how we'll handle the hearings. Right now, we've basically split the historic use permit applications we've received into two categories. Those that have requested their maximum historic use or less, and those that either don't have a year of pumping data or are asking for extrapolated use, which makes them eligible for a two-year verification period. So any of them that are eligible for the two-year verification period, they basically get set aside, and it'll be a couple years before we even talk about those with the board. Those that have requested their maximum historic use or less, it's basically, for lack of a better term, going to be an administrative issue for the board, right? Rules say, you know, this is what we shall grant them if they request this and they can prove it up. We're going to bring them to the board in a hearing by county. We started with Hood County. We're going to move north. I believe Kyle and Jay have identified 54 HUP applications in Hood County that have requested the maximum historic use or less. So the volume that they've reported to us, the maximum year, they've requested that or less. So we're going to go through. I'm in the process right now of reviewing those. Once I've reviewed those and determined one to be administratively complete, we've got 60 days to set a hearing. And after the hearing's set, we've got 35 days to hold the hearing. What's likely going to happen in talking with Brian, and Brian, you can jump in or correct me. The way this will play out is staff is going to put together a packet that contains everything that's required to be part of the application. You know, the application, all the historic data, you know, maps, all the proof of ownership or the property where the wells are located, you know, drought contingency plans. We'll put all that together in a package. I'll put a summary sheet on top that kind of summarizes everything. And then for example, for Hood County, for each of those 54 applications, you'll have 54 packages. I will send that out to the board well in advance for your review. And then once we get to the hearing, it'll basically be that the board will just take one sweeping action, unless there's any contested. If there's any contested, then Brian can talk about what we'll do then. If there's none contested, or for those that aren't contested, the board will take one sweeping action to approve all 54 or however many of them are not contested. For y'all's sake, for the board's point of view, you're going to see a big, you know, 1,000-plus page document with all these application packages. But it really shouldn't be much of a hearing. You know, we're not going to read it all into record. I don't expect a lot of discussion because, you know, I'll have my recommendation on there that's got to be published as part of the notice, which will be in line with their maximum historic use volume or less. So it should be pretty straightforward. Brian, did I miss something or you need to add anything?
No, I think you've got it. We're going through those lengthy provisions in the rules on hearings procedures and historic use permit hearings procedures in particular, and trying to find a way, operating under the assumption that the board does not want to sit for hours and hours of meetings on contested applications, trying to find the most efficient way that we can present to the board evidence gathered by the general manager and presented by the applicant, and kind of have the easy ones up front in batches for the board's consideration. For non-contested items, and let the board act on those in conjunction with. All right, I don't know. Are you envisioning, Doug, that those would be in conjunction with the monthly board meetings?
I think so. I think we would just hold a hearing at the beginning of a meeting.
And so try to minimize the impact on the board's times. And of course, the contested applications are beyond our ability to control and make simple. If we have those, hopefully the number of those will be minimized. But the way Doug is structuring it, and as he laid it out, he's trying to put those off until later, the ones that'll be more questionable, and try to get the easy ones up front.
Yeah, and administratively, one thing that really benefits staff, especially doing it by countywide and county batches, is these permits are 10 years in nature. Of course, renewals administrative, which means, you know, staff has got to keep a timer, right? We've got to notify the applicant, you know, well in advance of that 10-year deadline that they need to apply to renew it. It's an administrative renewal, a GM renewal of the, as long as they're not asking for anything above and beyond the permit. So by doing it in batches by county, it kind of helps us manage that in 10 years, you know, we don't want to forget to send somebody the notice that they need a request to renew. So it just makes it easier on us to do it in these big batches. And I think we could probably, and Kyle and I will know more next month. I'm thinking 3 or 4 hearings. I know we're going to do 1 hearing for Hood County, probably 1 for Parker. We may be able to get Wise and Montague into one count into one hearing, just because there's not very many systems going to be seeking a HUP in Montague County, and Wise County is not going to have as many as Parker either, I wouldn't believe. So possibly 3 hearings to get all these done. And this is going to take care of the vast majority of our HUPs. The rest of them, it'll be late 2023 before we start discussing them. That's really all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions. If you think of anything or have any questions, please don't hesitate to give me a call or shoot me an email. If there's any questions, Tracy also is one update. As you mentioned earlier, next month we'll be holding a rules hearing in conjunction with our monthly meeting. And this is just to address, if you remember last year, the board adopted 2 resolutions extending some deadlines. Extending the deadline to submit an HUP application, and then to extend the deadline for the other folks coming into compliance. We did that early last year. So just to get those changes from those resolutions into the rules, we'll be holding a hearing. There's a couple other tweaks that I've visited with Brian about, pretty minor stuff. But I've got the notice, and I've got to mail it out to newspapers or send it out to newspapers. I just wanted to confirm with Tracy, with you, that we would probably be doing the meeting. We would be doing the meeting in this same format. I've got it worded, even if some board were to come here, but primarily the public, it would be a Zoom meeting. I just wanted to confirm that before I sent out the notice.
Yes, I assume we're going to do it at Zoom.
Okay.
Or blended Zoom and in person.
Okay. I've got it worded as such, and so I just wanted to confirm that, and I'll send that out to the newspapers for publication tomorrow.
Okay.
The other items I've sent out, you know, as part of the package, you received reports. Tracy, if you don't mind, I'll move on. I've got the well registration. As far as well registrations, I mentioned to you, we put some maps together. Jacob and Jill put these together. So what you're going to look at, so everybody see that? Start with the map of Hood County. So I'm going to show you several maps, progression over time for each of our 4 counties. We're going to start with what we call pre-existing wells. So these are wells that are registered with the district that were drilled prior to 2009. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more than 450 of those in Hood County. And this is the biggest shortcoming in our data, is wells that were drilled before, domestic wells, private wells that were drilled before the district was created. But I'm going to start clicking through this, and so you can kind of see a time lapse of wells added over time. So 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Doug, are these wells that were added?
Yes, sir. So these are new wells drilled each year.
Okay. Well, let me ask. Are these additional locations? Were they old wells registered and new wells drilled, or merely new wells drilled?
Both, Mike. I would say 98% new wells drilled, 2% old wells added.
Okay.
So that was Hood County. And I'm going to have Jill's going to basically take this PowerPoint and put it in a video, and we'll post it online. But I just wanted to show you guys going to Parker County. Again, starting with wells that are registered. Actually, Mike, no, that's incorrect. I'm sorry. Because it was registered, even if it was registered in 2018, we were able to mark that it was drilled before 2009. So anything, so as it's added, is absolutely just new wells that were added that year. But I want to correct myself. So these are wells in Parker County that we registered, drilled before 2009, and then over time. Back it up. Sorry. So you can definitely see it really shows some hot spots, you know, you can see where all the development is happening. Then Wise County. And then finally, Park Monte County. And that's it. Like I said, it's I just wanted to show the board this. If you have any comments on it, please let me know. But you know, it kind of tells a story. You can definitely see what's going on in the district and where the development's occurring, where wells are being drilled. Again, I want to thank Jacob and Jill for putting that together. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I'll have Jill put it up on our social media, and I think we have a YouTube page and put little videos of it up. That's all I've got on my management report, Tracy. And happy to answer any questions that you guys have.
Not really a question. I just, for the board, this information, I ran the numbers. We had a 27% increase in new wells drilled last year as a district. And Parker, of course, was up almost 33%. Wise, 18%. Montague, almost 60%. We can see where the development's going.
Yeah. Tracy, I think in between Wednesday and Friday of last week, Jennifer received 39 new well applications in 2 days.
Jeez.
It's not slowing down. I talked to a developer a while back. He called, had some questions about some places they're looking at to develop in Parker County. And, you know, they've done some pretty large subdivisions, and I don't really – he didn't see it slowing down anytime soon. They're selling these lots and houses as fast as they can. So I think it's going to keep going.
And that's even bled all the way to Montague County. I don't know about where Mike lives, but I know up here, the realtors tell me they don't property and or houses move with, they have contracts within a matter of hours.
Yeah. We're definitely seeing more stuff happening up there for sure.
Yeah. So,
that is a good print.
No action necessary on anything on the general manager's report. We don't have any budget amendments, do we, Doug?
No, sir.
I would hope not. Okay. That's item 7. Item number 8, general counsel's report. Brian?
Sorry. I don't have much new to report. The legislature took a 2-week hiatus, and we all appreciate that. They appointed the Senate committees. They merged the agricultural committee back into the rural affairs committee. Your new senator got on that one, Tracy?
Yep. Not just mine. He's also Wise and Parker's too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But he's from your home county, right?
Nope. He's one county east.
Oh, I thought he was from your neck of the woods. Nope. We're still waiting. I'm expecting the House committees to be appointed in about probably next Thursday, or excuse me, the 4th, Thursday, February the 4th. I guess that is next Thursday. There's no crystal ball there, but of course we have a big change of leadership in the House, so we're all waiting to see there. But we hadn't really had any new bills of significance filed on the groundwater front. And that's
Tracy, I just saw in my chat messages, Mr. John Anderson, who's here there, would like to address the board.
Certainly. Mr. Anderson.
Good evening. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me this evening, and I appreciate the time, Doug. Make it very quick. I know that all of your time is valuable. And after what we just saw, the graphics of the expansion and all the wells, my timing couldn't have been worse. I was going to ask if I could plead a case and request an exemption to Rule 4.5, specifically B as in Bravo, to see what if I could get on the agenda for next week, correction, next month in February, or whatever would be best for the board.
And Tracy, I know this is just public comment, so the board can't address it. It's not an item, but
correct.
4.5B, this is the rule that refers to the fact that an exception shall not be granted if public water is available. So in other words, somebody's tied into a public water system and does not have two acres. So that's what Mr. Anderson's referring to.
Yes, we've been here for right at 3 years, and the plan the entire time was to add a well. And as I was going through the process, I believe December, January timeframe, I spoke with Kyle, and my next door neighbors were trying to do the same thing, and they've been speaking with Doug, and they've both been very polite. But it seems that there was a rule change that we were unaware of. So had we started the process 6 months ago, my understanding is we would have been grandfathered in. But because of the new rules, if there was any way that I could plead the case on an exemption there for 4.5B.
And again,
Mr. Anderson, Doug is correct. Let me take this, Doug. Yeah. Mr. Anderson, Doug is correct. This was not on our agenda, therefore the board cannot comment. I will simply state that, you know, requests for exemptions and stuff go through staff and come to the board at that point, and I would suggest that probably the best route for you at this point.
Okay. But previously I was recommended to come to the board meeting and ask to get on from the staff, but I will go back to the staff and ask.
And just to clarify, Tracy, the request cannot, the way the rules are written, it says that an exception shall not be granted.
Okay.
So it would literally take a rule change. So that's why, you know, we had, Mr. Anderson was told that he would have to address the board. Like I said, it would literally take a rule change. So.
Okay.
I understand. I do understand that it is a big ask, and this is not the appropriate time. That's why I was asking if I could get on the agenda for next month and speak about the possibility of a rule change. My professional experience, I've worked with the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, and that is what I focus on are the rules and regulations between the FAA and airlines. And sometimes the rules work out, the regs work out, everyone's happy. Sometimes we have a regulation, we need to tweak it a little bit. And so I am familiar with hard and fast no's, and sometimes we can work on an agreement we can all, you know, everybody wins.
Mr. Anderson, my hands are tied for commenting by the Open Meetings Act. Let me visit with Doug and the general counsel and then go from there.
Thank you, sir.
I don't think I can say any more than that.
Understand, sir.
Without Brian slapping my wrist. So.
But we do have a rulemaking hearing next month, and there will be a public comment period that you could speak at.
Correct.
Okay. That'll be on the February meeting, sir?
Yes. It'll be that, just similar to the public hearing today. It'll be at the top of the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. And again, I apologize if this is the wrong time. I just wanted to get in front and try to find out the proper avenue.
No, that's fine. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Time and place for next meeting. Doug, I think we're set for the 22nd of February, are we not?
I believe we are. 5 o'clock.
It'll be 5 o'clock. Staff will be, or some of the staff will be at the district office, and because of the rules hearings and such, one or more board members may be there as well. Any board members have any new business to be placed on the agenda for next month?
What is the date of the next meeting? I didn't.
22nd. February 22nd.
Okay.
It's the fourth Monday, Mike.
Yeah, that's what, anyway, that's, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, sir.
Yeah. January and February, we get moved because of Parker County's holidays on the third Mondays. Again, if the board has, any board member has something that they placed on the agenda, contact Doug or myself. Anybody have anything else? If not, Ann, I show the meeting adjourned at 5:52. Everybody be safe out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks.